I just want to say the first thing, that if any of your questions are because my voice went incredibly quiet at any point during the meditations or instructions and things, sometimes I'm a little over-influenced by my energetics, and when I'm thinking about something very subtle, my voice seems to come from somewhere behind me, or, you know, so it doesn't come out with as much power. But, yeah, we can address any questions coming from an unclear expression or just how it's meeting you. So how many people feel there's something they'd like to express in the hall? Yeah. Great, okay. And that's available to change over time as well. Yeah, please.
Noticed that when I drop into this unsatisfactory, noticed that I could slip into dullness. So what motivates me if not to get satisfied? Really a question, but I wanted to just put it in the air, and if one of you has something to say about it from experience.
Great. So the experience, I would kind of summarize as the practice works in its effect, that saying that something is unsatisfactory, it releases this kind of thing, and I enter a subtler, more spacious kind of space. But there's also this feeling then of, then what's the point if not to become satisfied, yeah, for something.
And what to say to the parts within me that feels satisfied. Like, in a way, it felt like something was taken from them.
Great. And so, yeah, the additional reflection there from Aviv first is that what should I do about these parts of me that feel satisfied at times? And then, you know, this addition here, which is that meditation feels satisfying. It's something I do and get a lot of satisfaction from doing. And I suppose, you know, the kind of question, should I call that unsatisfactory? Yeah. So my suggestion with this practice is see how far it goes, right? If, for example, in that moment, the sense of being a meditator, meditating or whatever, and we say that's unsatisfactory, doesn't contain enoughness from its own side. It's not in that that there is satisfaction, or these parts of ourselves that feel, you know, I need to get satisfied. I need to be satisfied. You know, and we say it's all unsatisfactory. You know, nothing contains that. There's no place that has that. We're exploring a way of looking at experience, right? None of the things that we're saying are true. I should have made that clear earlier, right? They're only being said, what happens when we do this? What are they useful for? Yeah. So, you know, there'll be parts of us that will kind of say, well, this means everything's meaningless. Does it?
Well, it's not meaningful.
Yeah, right. It doesn't say anything truthful about, you know, there's no truth claim in this practice. It's saying, what happens? What happens if I hold this space? Nothing. Nothing satisfactory from its own side. Yeah? and just see what happens. And maybe what we thought was bringing us so much satisfaction actually becomes more satisfying. Well, that's interesting, right? How it feels depends on how we meet it. That's the teaching. That's the principle that we get to see. Yeah. So we're not saying it is. You used to think it was satisfying, but actually it's dissatisfying, right? We're just swinging from one extreme to the other. This is the middle way. Just to say, just to feel nothing. Nothing is satisfying or dissatisfying from its own side. What is it? Let's get to know. Underneath that instruction, underneath that urge, you know, and to see, does it work? Does it do something for you? If it does, then it's useful at those times, right? So I hope that kind of responds to that one. Yes, please.
I just want to add something.
Okay.
I just want to add something, two things generally. Can and yes, said to be.
Can your hair go under this? Please.
Unsatisfactory, Nathan.
Yeah, but it could still be better. Can you do it with your hair under?
I don't know. So let's see the volume now. Shomim shomot oti lo. Shall I be able to
share? I think you could just. Can I? Oh yeah.
Ech achshav? Yoter tov? Maspik tov? Noam, ani lo betucha ma panim shelach. Maspik? Okay. Shav nira im ani zkor ma ratziti lagid. אז רציתי להגיד שני דברים כלליים. אחד זה שאני רואה המון מהבאות שלכם הם. ככה, ופשוט לשים לב לזה, כן? מה שקורה עם סוג תרגול כזה, אני מגזימה, כן? אבל יש את הקמטים האלה בפנים ובמצח, כן? עם סוג לימוד כזה, באופן טבעי, זה יעלה לכאן וננסה לתפוס... כן, ולהבין את זה דרך האינטלקט שלנו, שהוא חשוב, כן? אז אני לא אומרת לא, אני לא אומרת להשאיר את זה מחוץ למשחק, רק לשים לב שזה קורה, ומאוד מאוד לעזר בלשהות, בלהעט, כן? ולהתנסות ולחוש, כן? לתת לכל המערכת, כי זה, אנחנו נכנסות כאן לטריטוריה שהיא... לא רק האינטלקט, לא עם האינטלקט בלבד נצליח כאן, כן? אז האינטלקט חשוב, הוא מועיל, הוא עוזר, אבל נשים לב שאת לא הולכת לשם, וסבלנות, שהיא בדיקה. זה דבר אחד כללי שרציתי להגיד, וזה לא, אני זוכרת מי רצתה לשאול שאלה, זה לא במקום שתשאלו את השאלות שלכם, תשאלו אותם, ואני רוצה רק ככה להגיד את זה להקשבה. והדבר השני שנייתן אמר, אבל חשוב לי להדגיש, זה לא דרך הסתכלות שמנסה להוציא, או שהמטרה שלה היא להוציא את הסיפוק, להוציא את הרווחה, להוציא את הנחת מהחוויה שלנו. כן? זה לא העניין, זה לא אין סיפוק. כן? זה לא הסיפוק, הוא לא קיים. כן? נורא חשוב להקשיב, ואם אפשר להקשיב עם כל הבינג, לכל האמירה, כן? לא מכיל סיפוק, כן? מצידו, כן? או בפני עצמו, כן? זה כל האמירה כאן, כן? לא מכיל סיפוק מצידו או בפני עצמו, כן? זה לא בזה בלבד שהסיפוק נמצא, לפעמים בלבד הזה עוזר לנו. אבל ככה, זה לא אין סיפוק. זה ככה, רציתי לעשות את ההבהרה הזאת ובואו נמשיך. Did you understand?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, great. אז נראה לי you asked already someone to ask a question, right?
Yeah.
כן, מה ששאלת אתמול, כן. Do you want me to repeat in English or in Hebrew?
English, yes.
English, yes, okay. And then I'll answer in Hebrew. So the question is that yesterday in the talk Nathan spoke about that the dukkha is in the way of relating, yeah, and not in the object, not in the thing. But there are some situations where... you know, for example, when you lose someone, the situation of death, where that is a painful situation, there is dukkha in the situation. So, yeah, kind of wanting to understand that territory. And I'm happy to let you answer if you wish. I was just joking. But I don't.
Okay, mind. I mean, you, in a way, you asked me yesterday, and I'm happy to respond to that, but I'm also happy to let Zohar go. Okay. So it's a really delicate area, right? And we're not saying that feelings are not significant, relationships are not significant, and they're actually a lot of what give our life meaning, and we're not saying that life is meaningless or anything like that. What we're saying is the way that we relate to a situation or a circumstance also is really impacted by our situation, our space, how we see the situation. Like sometimes somebody dies and there's a sense of relief for them and for the others that love them, that they are in some way released from the struggle and the difficulty that we were not able to, we didn't have the means to be able to help them escape from. And there's both, you know, a joy in their existence and the chance that we had to be with them, and that can come through really strongly. And then there's a sense that, oh, they're with me, and they're with me in a way that even is closer than they were when they were alive. We can know all of these experiences, and we can know the despair, the grief, the big gap in our life from the presence that they had. All of those are available to us. It's not one thing from its own side. Yeah. There can be beauty and there can be, you know, disaster kind of feeling. It's so that's the kind of experience that we're saying. It's like how I meet this, how I hold this, how I see this, how I imagine this to be, shapes how I feel about it. And so, you know, we might still find in our life there are still significant things that we wish they didn't happen. Yeah, but we'll also know it's not entirely independently this way from its own side. Yeah, how I relate to it, how I see it, how I conceive of it really makes a difference. Yeah.
Can I add something? Yes. אני רוצה להוסיף משהו. חשובה כאן מאוד שוב הרגישות וההבחנה, כן, שאנחנו מדברות על זה ש... הדוקה תלויה גם בדרך ההסתכלות, כן? אז המילה דוקה היא כוללת המון המון מופעים, כן? וזה לא אומר שאין כאב, כן? לא אומר שאנחנו לא חוות, שיש לנו דרך לא לחוות כאב, כן? או קושי, כן? זה כולל גם, כמו שאמרת עכשיו, מחלה, כן? או כאב פיזי, או כאב נפשי, כן? כל הדברים האלה. זה לא בהכרח אומר שזה לא כואב. זה אומר שדרך האופן שאנחנו ניגש לזה משפיעה גם על החוויה של הכאב, כן? על האופן שבו אנחנו יכולות להכיל אותה, להיות איתה, להיות סבלניות איתה, כן? וכולי. אז זה מאוד מאוד מעודן, גם מאוד חשוב לעשות כאן את ההבחנה הקריטית, שזה לא שאם יש מחלה, או יש כאב, או יש קושי, או יש אובדן, וקשה לי עם זה, שזה אשמתי. זה מאוד מאוד חשוב, והעובדה שאנחנו אומרות שדרך ההתייחסות, דרך ההסתכלות משפיעה, זה לא אומר שכל האחריות היא עליי, ובטח לא שאני אשמה בזה. אז זה מחזיר אותנו לאמירה של הבודה, כן? יש דוקה, כן? ועם מה דוקה עולה? כן? דוקה עולה עם דרך התייחסות. ויש דרך. יש דרך של תובנות, כן? יותר ויותר מתעדנות עם הדרך, אבל לפעמים אני חושבת שעוזר לראות שהדרך שלנו היא דרך שככה אוספת וכוללת את החוויות שלנו, כן? היא כוללת באופן ההתייחסות שלנו, אנחנו מחזיקות, כן? גם את הכאבים שאי אפשר להימלט מהם, זה גם בלימוד שלה, של הבודה, כן? הכאב הפיזי, ההזדקנות, המחלה, האובדן, כן? הכאב הנפשי. כל אלה זה חלק מהמצב האנושי שלנו. כן? לא ניתן להימלט מהם, ועם זאת ניתן לעבוד עם דרכי ההסתכלות שלנו על מנת להפחית את הסבל. כן? זה עונה לך? כן. וזו שאלה של להמשיך ולחקור, להמשיך ולהחזיק בהרבה חמלה. כן? ומאוד מאוד חשוב לא להיכנס לפינות של שיפוט עצמי. כן? לגבי מה שעולה.
Maybe just a short way of saying this, I'm not sure if it was in what you were saying, I think I was tracking what you were saying, is that the Buddha was really wary of us becoming nihilists, you know, and saying that life is meaningless, you know, from its own side. That's also not what this is saying. Many times he said, I didn't say that. If I'd said that, it would mean nihilism, mean meaninglessness, pointlessness. But that's not the teaching.
Yeah. So we had a couple of people that haven't asked before. Think Nimrod, נכון?
Great, beautiful, beautiful. So the question, which I think, you know, comes a question in the end, you know, despite what you were feeling maybe, is that we have these two Pali words that have a different kind of feeling. There's tanha, which we might call the more kind of gross pushing and pulling on life, material things, worldly things, you know, kind of a horizontal movement of getting, you know, stuff that's existing on this dimension. And then we also have chanda, which could be, you know, shifting the level of something higher, something more beautiful, something more subtle, something deeper, something much more meaningful and significant for us, like this kind of practice, liberation, developing the beautiful qualities of kindness and generosity and gratitude and all of that beautiful, beautiful way that we want to practice. And at times, wanting to move in that direction can feel like there's a dukkha there, you know. And the Buddha spoke about the dukkha of the renunciate, you know, the dukkha of the practitioner, you know. And it's a good kind of dukkha for us, right? And it's like, oh, practice is hard today. I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to try. What's going to work? And the kind of the clearest way that I know this experience to be is like the difference between those dukkhas is that contractedness and that dispersed kind of thing, rather than dispersed in that kind of spreading, subtleizing kind of way, but just like being distracted, pulled apart, that kind of thing. It's like, no, this is where we're heading. It's this directionality. It has a different kind of feeling. And this material realm, you know, I don't think the satisfaction's in there, but I think that there's a real benefit of developing and cultivating this, that which is approved of by the wise, you know, as they say in the teachings, yeah. So, yeah. Mm. And the could and the should element is tricky, but when you see it, you know it, right? And it's like, oh, okay. Let's not do that again. Mm. And yeah. Maybe you feel it in the contraction, yeah.
I would add the contraction, really significant. How the sense of self appears as well in that. Yeah. And it is tricky because, you know, we need, like, if we're talking about Chanda, that real desire for awakening, for well-being, for meaningfulness, yeah. We need a degree of a sense of self also to play the game, yeah. But whether it appears, and our whole sense of the experience, whether it appears really limited, yeah, tunnel vision, contracted, yeah. And the sense of self would be very loud for me, yeah. I want this for me. You know, it could be a meditation experience that I'm craving. I want that peacefulness for me, yeah. And we play with that contraction. Another way, I'll just give another image that for me really helps. Having a sense like the chanda, this wish for enlightenment is like a, not for, I don't like the word awakening. Sorry, I habitually come up with enlightenment that I don't like. For awakening or for liberation. This is why I said enlightenment. Seeing it like a lighthouse. Yeah, כמו מגדלור שמכוון אותי, כן? במקום איזושהי באמת התנועה הזאת של השוד, כאילו דבר שמכוות אותי וכאילו מאמת אותי. מגדלור, מרחב, כן? והכוונה, כן? או כמשהו שתומך בי, כן? מלמטה. כן? משהו שאני יכולה להיות מוזנת על ידו, להישען על תוכו, כן? בתור תמיכה. אבל כן, יש שם, כמו שנתן אמר, חשוב להגיד, גם שם יש סוג של דוקה, אבל זה כמו כאבי גדילה. כן? יכולים להיות, לא חייבים להיות, לא כל הזמן יש, כמו כאבי גדילה. וזו טריטוריה שמאוד מעניין ושווה לחקור אותה, וללמוד אותה. תודה. גם פה הייתה השאלה קודם, כן.
אוקיי. אני לא בטוחה שזה נכון, אבל שאני כאילו צריכה לחבוט גם את המספק וגם את הלא מספק, ואז לשאול את עצמי כמו בסיפור על הכסף, על הפניות, מאיפה בא זה. אבל אני צריכה לחבוט את החוויה.
כן. אז אני אחזור על השאלה. Do a synopsis in English so you can also
can
understand.
Just move your mic. You just get this little pop.
It's unsatisfactory, but you just don't give up.
No, but I mean, this is a better unsatisfactory.
The sense of there was a question, and then through the listening, both internally and to other people's questions and then responses, there was a response that came internally. Yeah, And the question was around, what do I do with the pleasant experiences? Because usually the instruction is to open, to pay attention to the pleasant, to immerse in the pleasant. But what happens when I see it as unsatisfactory? Like, that seems like it's going in the opposite direction. And then the reminder, or to not just kind of to notice that the questioning becomes very intellectual, and to bring in the rest of the experience was really helpful, realizing that there was something dry in how this was being approached, and the response that came through that kind of exploration was... it's gone out of my mind.
From the story.
Okay, again, as באמת לתת לעצמה לשהות בתוך החוויה הזאת של unsatisfactoriness, ולבדוק כמו בסיפור עם הקניות, מאיפה זה בא, כן, מאיפה מגיע הסיפוק, איפה הוא נמצא. I repeated in, okay.
No, but I understand.
Change language. Yeah, I know. I don't change language, and then I did also.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. It worked.
Yeah.
You can answer in Hebrew.
Okay, I'll answer in Hebrew if I like, if I can stick to one language. כן, אז זו באמת חקירה מאוד מעניינת. קודם כל, האם אנחנו מביאות דרך ההסתכלות הזאת גם למה שנעים? כן, זה איזושהי שאלה. ולפעמים יכול להיות, כן, אם, בעיקר אם אנחנו בתחילת הדרך עם דרך ההסתכלות הזאת, יכול להיות מעניין להביא אותה למה שלא נעים, שם אנחנו יותר, יש לנו יותר מוטיבציה לראות את ה... unsatisfactoriness, כן? וזו, אני אציע דרך אחת, ואז עם התובנה הזאת, כן? ברגע שאנחנו רואות, כשאני מסתכלת בדרך הזאת, אני מרפאה היחזות, כן? ואז מה שאני מקבלת, בעצם זו רווחה גדולה יותר, כן? אפשר גם להביא את זה לנעים. כן? אפשר גם להביא את זה לנעים. זה מה שחשוב שם, זה... ככה, הבהירות של הכוונה של התרגול, איזה תרגול אני עושה עכשיו, זה קצת מה שאמרתי אתמול עם הניטשה, לא להביא עדיין את התרגול הניטשה למטה, הבהירות של התרגול, אם אני מתרגלת כרגע תרגול תובנה ודרך הסתכלות, אז זה יכול להיות מעניין לראות מה קורה כשאני מביאה את זה ללא נעים, וגם שם תהיה רווחה, כן? תהיה הקלה, עם הזמן נראה שאנחנו נופלות לתוך נעימות שהיא יותר מעודנת, כן? יותר ממלאת, יותר מזינה, יותר מספקת, זה מעניין, אין התהליך הזה. אבל אם מה שאני מתרגלת עכשיו זה מטה, או שאני מתרגלת הכרת תודה, או אני מתרגלת עם נעימות, זה האובייקט שלי כרגע, אז אולי זה לא הזמן. זו אחת ההבחנות שהייתי עושה. Did you understand my response?
Oh, no.
Okay, so I'll just say it to you in case you want to say something different. I said that, like, for sometimes it can be simpler and easier if you're just starting off with this practice to work initially with the unpleasant, where we may have more motivation to see it as unsatisfactory, and then to take the insight that will come, that when we look in this way, the tanha lessens, the demand lessens, the contraction lessens, and that actually brings well-being, then we can take that and bring that to also the pleasant. But it also depends on what particular practice we're doing. And to be clear about that, if we're doing the insight practice, then sure. We do want to go across the range. If we're doing a practice of metta or of paying attention to appreciation and to the pleasant, then we may not want to do that initially until we're more
okay.
Skilled.
And the other question? The Sukha Samudaya?
And what does Sukha depend on?
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't respond to that.
You didn't respond to that. Okay, so there's also this question that we had, which I offered out and was hoping that the talk would kind of point towards and give us some ideas around. So we can say, you know, the second noble truth is dukkha samudaya. Upon who does dukkha hang out with, or who else comes along, who's backing up dukkha in this experience? We can also say, you know, sukha samudaya, what supports happiness, release, well-being. We want to have the possibility for that kind of experience. And so, you know, you can see for yourself. So many of them are kind of the opposites, you know. So instead of greediness, maybe it's appreciation. You know, instead of ill will, we could have metta. You know, these are things that really, instead of contractedness, we have the spaciousness. Instead of kind of a dull, we have the sensitivity, and we maybe, you know, or the brightness. And we support those conditions that support that. And so what we're saying is that things from their own side can be dukkha, or they could be sukha, yeah? And that Vedana thing that we started questioning a couple of days ago, we get to see is, oh yeah, it depends on how I relate to something, whether it becomes, you know, like a self-fulfilling prophecy. This will be unpleasant. Get rid of it. Chase it. Hit it. You know, run away. It's like, oh yeah, it was unpleasant. But if I don't do that, is it? Or is it not as much? Is it not at all? And we'll see. So the dukkha and the sukha come in the way of relating. They come in the way of relating. At least a lot of it, and maybe all of it. Yeah, depend on how I meet it, depend on how I see it. And with this unsatisfactory, we're also saying, depends on how I conceive of it. I'm conceiving of it, giving birth to it in the perception that it doesn't have this from its own side, which really changes how I feel to relate to it. You know, that's what we're kind of exploring. And it's subtle, and it takes time, and like Zara says, build up, you know, come in for where it feels helpful, and yeah, and then maybe eventually even we'll say, oh, this absolute paradise release that I love to get to in meditation at times. I've never been there, but I hear other people have. And then you say, even that is unsatisfactory. Even that is being held onto and limited in some way, and it's actually boundless when I say that to it. Yeah.
So it is...
Oh,
it's. After 11, so we will take a pause to see anyone feels like enough talking, listening. Again, this is recorded, then please feel free to have some time outside. And if you have more questions or you'd like to
listen to
them, then please stay. יורם, הייתה לך שאלה? הייתה לך שאלה? או שהיא כבר עברה? אוקיי. Yeah, so the it's a question that kind of was partly I don't think it was necessarily answered, but it kind of got a new more space when I said like to notice if we're getting very much into the intellect, and the question was around, it's been around for a few days, around something to do with the fact that rational and true are not necessarily always in harmony. Mm-hmm. So that something can be irrational and not rational and true, and it can be rational and not true. Like make sense, logical, not rational, logical. Logical and rational. Egyoni. Yeah. Yeah. And so there's something that like's been percolating for a few days, and there's still a sense of friction around it because, yeah, trying to kind of make sense of it. Ken, ani tirgamti nachon? Yeah. Ata rotze sheni tichas? Ken? All right. Happy to have a response from us. Okay. You can go.
Yeah.
If you like, unless you prefer not to. An appearance.
Great. Am I going to respond?
If you can do it short, I think we need to be brief in responses.
So should I repeat the question or so? Or should I allow the question to be clear in the answer?
Yes, that's
okay.
Good.
So if we take an experience which is like a universal experience, stick a needle in someone and they feel pain, you know? Everybody feels pain, it's pain for everyone. Then you might have an experience which is in a different set and setting, like acupuncture or something, and someone sticks a needle in you and you feel, oh, thank God they did that, you know, I feel good. So what we're saying there is that, yes, there's still the same sensation, that kind of whatever it is, sharp, cold, acidic, bright kind of thing of metal entering the human form, if we just keep it with humans, but it's going to be, you know, pretty much the same for any thing that has flesh. Is it always the same experience? Well, no. Is it the same collection of sensations? Yes. But how many of those sensations are being perceived and what's the atmosphere in which they're being perceived will shape what actually then becomes the experience. All of those collections of conditions that come together will mean that it won't be the same experience twice. They stick another needle in you, it's impacted by the previous needle and how you reacted and responded to that one. So say like it went in and it wasn't nice, it actually made things worse, you're going to be very apprehensive about the second one, and that's going to shape and feel how you are, you're more tense, you're less tense. So all of these things have an impact, and that's why we also say that everything is inconstant, you know, that it really depends on everything else in the universe, you know, for how this experience is perceived. That's my feeling about it. So with regards to the kind of the general point about logic and truth and all of this, I was really seeking truth a lot. And I'm just at a point where I'm not entirely sure that there is a truth, but I think that there are a lot of things which are very useful, and in a way I kind of hold them like truths, but not quite as ultimate as truths. But like, it's really useful to see this way. In these kinds of circumstances, it adds a something to experience. But I'm less and less sure about truth. But yeah, sometimes I really trust in logic, though, which is kind of interesting, like what you're sharing. Yeah, like, do this, that moves in that way. Do that, oh, it moves in this way. So that's what kind of comes as a response. Did it come close to the reflection you were sharing?
כן. אז אני אחזור על השאלה. השאלה היא ככה בהקשר של התרגול הזה שעשינו עכשיו, כן? האם מה שנקרא הרבה פעמים הניטרלי, כן? האספקט הניטרלי של החוויה, מה שאיננו במובהק נעים או לא נעים, האם הוא יכול להיות שער, כן? זמין לדרך הסתכלות הזאת, כן? אם הוא יכול להיות שער זמין לדרך ההסתכלות הזאת. Sorry, you just answered.
No, I can.
I'll do my best. אז כן, אני חושבת שכל אספקט של החוויה שלנו יכול להיות שער, ואם זה מרגיש שיכול להיות כאן משהו מעניין עבורי, אז הייתי אומרת, לך ותראה. כן? הרבה פעמים, הסוג האחזות, כן? התרגול הזה הוא תרגול של הרפיית האחזות. הרבה פעמים סוג האחזות במה שהוא לא במובהק נעים או לא נעים, הוא יהיה משהו של ככה התנועה אל משהו אחר, כן? או ההתמוס, או ככה משהו של שיעמום או של spacing out. זה, 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 זה תהיה התגובתיות שלנו למה שלא במובהק מושך מספיק את תשומת הלב שלנו. אם אתה מוצא ש יש לך גישה לטווח הזה, אז זה יכול להיות מעניין מאוד, כן? כי שמה, ואני חושבת שמשם באה השאלה שלך, שמה יותר, יכול להיות יותר ברור לנו שאין, שהדבר הזה לא מכיל סיפוק, כן? אז מהמקום הזה, כן? ואז לבנות את זה יותר. אבל ככה, מה שהתרגול הזה עושה, כאילו המכניקה שלו, או התובנה שלו, זה הרפאיה של היחזות, בגלל זה אני קודם דיברתי על כאילו, לעבוד לפעמים עם מה שלא נעים כשער, אבל בהחלט הייתי אומרת, אם זה מרגיש לך כשער אפשרי ומעניין, לך על זה ותבדוק מה קורה. כן? כי זה גם מאוד מאוד אישי.
Right.
Another thing we have talked about the emptiness.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm literally feeling myself empty throughout this retreat. I feel it's just to do with the Veda, but I feel it's kind of empty the last 12 hours or so. So my question is in the hour that's left, what would you recommend from your experience, or maybe a couple of reasons to look through, like the ones you're suggesting?
Wonderful. Yeah, so this experience of meditation, meeting, fasting, and a sense of emptying out, and how that's kind of similar to a sense of emptiness. So the title in the retreat, I think, is emptiness, but probably what we're more practicing with is seeing that things are empty, which means not something in some way from their own side. You know, so for example, we could see, oh, this is hunger. Hunger is bad. You know, I don't want to be hungry. Who would ever want to be hungry? And I'm having to persevere and move through this. And the other way is we can see, ah, this is the emptying out. you know, and there's a Rumi poem that says, emptied out for some new delight, you know. And it's like, oh, we're making room for something else, you know, that kind of way. It's like, oh, I can hold this in different ways. Why? Because it's empty of being any one way from its own side. Yeah. So finding the practices, finding the things that actually support you and sustain you, nourish you in a time where you're not being nourished by what you might normally be nourished, right? Emptiness as a more like an adjective noun, meaning it's describing like a location, a thing in which there is not other things there, is another way that this word is used, but it's not the one that we mean on this retreat so much. Yeah, we much more mean the flexibility, the malleability of the perceived experience here, understanding how is this being conditioned? And what would happen if I change that condition? How's this being conditioned? Oh, my shoulders are up here. Well, what would it be like if my shoulders came down there? Oh, it's a bit different. How's my thinking affected by that? How's my perception, my seeing, my sensitivity affected by that? Oh, a lot. So what else can I do to move in that direction? What if I see this with kindness? How would that look? How would I express it? Ah, like this maybe. Try that. Oh, that's much nicer. And that feeling that the experience is empty means it's open with possibilities, yeah, when I remember to try and to experiment and to play. So I hope that kind of relates to what we're having. Yeah, as I said, to find what's nourishing, that was the bit there. But yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about it all the time, but it's quiet.
Right. Yeah. Sure. So what I would say specifically for you, yeah, so no one else is allowed to listen. All right, here it comes. Head towards the most subtle thing in your experience and sustain the attention there. And when that's no longer the most subtle thing, something else has become more subtle, because the experience is deepening and moving and shifting and affected by the way of looking, then pay attention to that. And when you need to, come back, steady the attention, gathering, harmonizing, not focusing, yeah, but like receptivity, sensitivity, spaciousness, aliveness, and allowing experience to be sensitive, spacious, subtle, and known. Sensitive, spacious, subtle, and known. Yeah. All right. Take care, everyone. Have a beautiful day. I think we have to finish, yeah. Sorry. If we can do it in a note, that'll be great. And if not, there'll be one-to-one meetings through the next days.